present John le Carré's A Perfect Spy, adapted for radio in 8 parts by René Basilico. Starring James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber. A Perfect Spy.
So, it would appear that you're no further forward, Jack.
No, except I'm pretty sure that Pym's still alive and well.
And living where, exactly?
Some secret place. I mean, that's all either Tom or certain boys could tell me.
And you think it's on the other side of the fence?
It's a possibility, isn't it?
It's also circumstantial, Jack. You said so yourself.
Well, I was wrong.
Well, who says that? Only you, I think.
Me, and a Czech code pad, and a Czech camera, and all the other stuff we found in Vienna.
All stuff Magnus could have acquired playing his agents back and forth across the border.
And kept hidden in a chimney.
Wherever. That doesn't make him a thief. Not in my book.
What does he make him?
Careless? Cavalier, perhaps.
No, it's not in his makeup.
He is rather acting out of character.
You think he's had a crack-up, is that it?
It's not beyond the bounds of possibility.
We can't condemn what he's done, though.
I don't, Nigel. But I think I can understand it. But I shall certainly want to know why he took the Vienna burn box.
Oh, what the hell does the burn box matter? He knew what was in it anyway. He wrote most of it himself.
Yes. So, as I see it, there's no real justification for me to go to my minister and say, we've found another one.
Or to go to the Americans.
Heaven forbid. Bang would go the whole special relationship with the agency.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't want me to risk all that, Jack. Not until we find Pym. Or at least discover what happened to him.
That's what it's all about these days, Jack. Not upsetting the political apple cart.
So what are we supposed to do? Batten down the hatches and keep looking for Pym?
That's about the size of it. Oh, by the way, Beau feels you should stop flying solo.
Oh, for God's sake.
No, I'm afraid I agree with him, Jack.
You do want me to find Pym?
Of course we do. He's your man, after all.
Well, thanks.
But you're to start nothing without my say-so. No new initiatives.
And what about the old ones?
Oh, which in particular?
Young Tom Pym. I've got a letter Magnus wrote to him.
What? Since he disappeared?
Mm-hmm. There are one or two things in it that I'd like the boy to explain to me. Might shed a little light.
We won't be too long, will we, Uncle Jack? Mustn't be late for my next lesson.
Oh, what time's that?
4:30. Only it's maths. That's my worst thing.
Don't worry, we'll have you back in good time. I don't suppose you've heard any more from your father.
Well, not since that letter.
Oh, yes. Here, you can have it back now.
Oh, thanks.
It's a fine letter, Tom. You should be proud.
Yes.
I see your dad mentions an Uncle Sid.
Sir.
If you're ever down on your luck, he says, and you need a hot meal or a bed for the night, don't forget Uncle Sid.
Oh, yes.
Well, who is this Uncle Sid?
Oh, Sid Lemon, sir. He was a friend of Grandad's. He used to look after Dad sometimes when he was a boy.
Where does he live?
Surbiton, by the railway. He's got a great big flagpole in his front garden with the Union Jack on it.
Who the hell's that?
You, Mr. Lemon.
What if I am?
My name's Marlowe, Jack Marlowe. Could I have a private word with you?
I've got two private words for you. Piss off.
Look, I'm a friend of Magnus Pym's.
Why the hell didn't you say so in the first place? Come in and have a wet.
Still here, squad.
Thank you.
Leave the door, it shuts itself. And next time you press that bell, just say you're an Englishman.
Oh, sorry.
How is young Magnus?
Oh, in good shape, all things considered.
His father dying, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't get for Rick's funeral. I wasn't well enough. How was he?
I'm told it was beautiful.
Yeah, it would be. Mm. Ah! You'll have to do the honors, Squire. I'm still not myself yet.
Yes, of course.
I'll take a drop of the Scotch rum for me, Elf, and you'll please yourself.
Where?
In the corner there.
Ah, yes.
Just lift the lid.
But like this.
You know it?
Yes, of course.
Of course you do. Now put the lid down. Now pull it up again. And Bob's your auntie.
Scotch,
you said? Yeah, right-hand corner.
Ah, oh, I've got it.
Here, Rick gave me that. There was a problem of liquidity about my pension, you see.
Ah.
Couldn't afford a gold watch, so he gave me that instead. It's worth a few, Bob, that is.
Yes, I should think it is. Oh, do you want water, or is that all right?
Oh, that's fine. Oh.
Right. Well, your health, Mr. Lemon.
Your food, Squad. Are you a pokey by any chance?
What pigs do you think that?
I smell them a mile off, pokies. Many of the time I walked into the office and I'd know. I'd hear the quiet and I'd know there was bogies about. Having a quiet, were we, Ricky, most like. And I'd leg it out the back door. I was faster on my feet in those days.
Oh, when was the last time you saw him then?
Ricky? Yeah. Oh,
No, Magnus.
Magnus? A couple of years. He stayed away after Meg passed on. Didn't like people dying on him, I suppose.
I thought he came to see you more recently than that.
Oh, yeah? When was that then?
After the funeral. Came and chatted to you about old times.
Magnus tell you that, did he?
He told Tom.
He didn't tell you, though, did he?
I don't suppose you mentioned Poppy when he talked to you, did he?
Magnus playing with the ladies again, is he? Like father, like son.
What about Wentworth?
I don't think I know a Wentworth squad.
Why, is a Wentworth giving the boy trouble?
No. Tell me something. What's that Union Jack doing out there in the front garden?
It's a scarecrow for foreigners, is what it is. And for fogies. What's this, then?
It's my card. I'm in the same business as that flag.
Is this a contract?
No. I'm here because Magnus is in a spot of trouble.
What sort of trouble?
He seems to have disappeared.
Well, just like that.
He was working undercover for his country.
Do you swear to me, copper? Scout's honour.
Yes.
And may you rot if you're lying to me.
And may I rot.
Yeah, all right, he was here. Came here to con me, the young tyke. He wanted Bandoola.
What the hell is Bandoola?
A bloody great filing cabinet. Metal, next best thing to a safe. Rick kept all his papers in it.
What kind of papers?
His whole life. His secrets. His debts. Everything.
And Magnus wanted to take it away.
I wouldn't let him at first. There are some bad things in Bandoola. Wentworth was one of them. I don't know about that other you mentioned.
And Magnus left with the cabinet?
Oh, yeah. Perched on his head like a bleeding coolie. He sent the lorry, didn't he?
Oh, yes, of course he did, yeah. You see the lorry?
What do you think? Major entertainment around here, lorry is.
What was the firm?
God knows. It was just a plain green lorry.
How many men?
Two.
Did you sign anything?
Don't be daft. They just loaded up and buggered off.
Where to?
The depot, of course.
And where was that?
Canterbury. Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Package for Canterbury, that's what they said.
Not a package for Pym.
Oh, Canterbury, I told you. Call at Lemon and pick up a package for Canterbury.
You didn't happen to see the number of the lorry, did you?
Of course I did. Wrote it down. Lorry numbers, that's my hobby, isn't it? Oh,
sorry.
Oxford was more than a university education for me. But it's only now that I realize that...
Mr. Canterbury, there's a man here asking for you.
Just a minute, Miss Dubber.
Ah.
Who is it, Miss Dubber?
He didn't give his name.
Where is he?
Downstairs, with another man.
Two of them?
And a cabinet, a horrid big greedy thing made of iron.
Bandoola. That's all right, then.
Why were we whispering?
No reason, Miss D. No reason at all. Excuse me a moment. Up here. Top of the stairs.
Oh, bloody woodland.
Yeah.
Ready up?
Right. It's all right, Miss D. I ordered the wrong thing.
Would you tell us to be careful of the wall, Mr. Canterbury? They've just been done.
I'm sure they're being as careful as they can. I'll pay for any damage they cause, I promise.
If you wanted a cabinet, why didn't you say so? You could have had the one in room two.
This is special, Miss D. It houses some old ministry archives I'm working on. I thought it easier to ship a whole lot down in one fell swoop.
Here, yeah, where do you want this, Governor?
In here, against the wall there, if you were.
Oh, mind your back, love.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's she got in here, a dead body?
Some old papers.
Oh, bloody wait, I can tell you. Oh, begging your pardon, Mrs.
Really?
Sure. Here's your say.
A bit more that way.
Oh.
Put it down there.
Gently up. Together now. One, two. Oh, how's that?
Perfect. Thank God for that. Here, split that between you.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Governor. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Come on, Alfred. Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
Well, I'd better see them out, Mr. Canterbury.
If you wouldn't mind, Miss Dee.
I still think that the cabinet from room 2 would have looked better.
Probably.
But this, dear Miss Dubber, is not just any old cabinet. This is Bandula, the Ark of Rick's Covenant, with all his deeds and misdeeds locked away inside. The profit and loss account of a lifetime. London Gazette. Petition for bankruptcy. Receivers appointed for Magnus Dynamic and Astral and 83 associated companies. Director of Public Prosecutions invites Richard Thomas Pym to present himself for interview. Ah, yes. Photograph of Rick with red setter. Richard Thomas Pym, Liberal candidate in the Gulworth North by-election. A new chapter in all our lives, Rick called it. As soon as term ended at Oxford, I hurried over to join the campaign to be met outside the station by Sid Lemon and a large van plastered all over with posters proclaiming Pym, the people's man.
Where are we going?
Little Chedworth on the water.
What's happening there?
Main meeting of the day, isn't it? Your father's due to speak at 9 o'clock. Always supposing he makes it on time. Oh, there's one of Meg's meat pies in the back if you're hungry.
We were only just in time. The temperance hall was buzzing with anticipation, and we had scarcely taken our seats on the platform before the agent was introducing my father to the audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have great pleasure in introducing the next Member of Parliament for the Gulworth North constituency, the People's Choice, Richard Pym.
Clap, Magnus, a little tight. That's your father, your best pal.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. You have ventured out on this inhospitable night for one reason, and one reason only. Because you care about your country, as I do, and you care about its people.
That's two reasons.
Quite right, my friend, quite right. But the two are one, and indivisible. The country is the people. People like ourselves, gathered here tonight. English people, root and bough, worried about their beloved country and looking for the man to see them right.
He was soon in full flow, explaining the true meaning of liberalism for those unfamiliar with the differences between the three great parties, and then milking their human kindness with stories of his deprived childhood and God-fearing adolescence.
To the voters of Little Chedworth, without a certain someone up there, acting night and day for me as my senior partner. Or laugh if you will, because I would rather be the object of your mockery than fall prey to the cynicism and godlessness that is sweeping our land. Without that certain someone up there, I wouldn't be where I am today, offering myself, be it never so humbly, to the people of Gulworth North.
Every face in that little hall was turned flower-like towards the warmth of Rick's all-embracing light. Every face. Except one.
Yeah, look at that miserable old cow.
Where?
Third row back, in the widow's weeds.
Oh, yes. Maybe she's in mourning.
What, for the Tories, you mean?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I understand our candidate's celebrated young son, Magus, is among us here tonight.
Having stand by, Magus. You're on your book. Stand up and take a bow.
Smile, you I'm sure we'd all appreciate a few words from you, Magus.
Go on, say something nice about your old man.
Thanks for coming, son. I knew you wouldn't let me down.
You can say that.
Whatever's in your heart. Just sing it from the heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, I expect that many of you here tonight are asking yourselves what kind of man my father is.
even after the fine speech you've just heard. Well, I can put it quite simply. Your candidate is the most honest, the truest friend a man could ever have, and I should know. My father has been my best friend, my closest pal, since the day I was born. Thank you.
Marvellous, Marcus. Marvellous.
You're right, Dad.
Fantastic, son, fantastic. If I'm spared to be 100, I'll never be a prouder man, never.
But amid all the euphoria and self-congratulation, I remember being worried, like every performer since time began, worried about the only member of the audience who did not applaud me.
Who was that woman, Dad?
Which woman's that, son?
One all in black, sitting 3 rows back.
Can't say I noticed her.
But I noticed her. Every day at every meeting she would appear, like Banquo's ghost, unwanted at the feast.
That gloomy woman was there again, Dad. Why is she following us around like that?
Don't know. The other side probably sent her to put the muckers on us. Just the sort of thing they would do.
But who is she?
Keep your mind on the election, old son. Never mind anything else.
Then one evening, returning from a hard day's canvassing to our campaign headquarters at the Temperance Hotel, I chanced to see her, creeping in at the back door, and followed her down to the cellar, where I found her, testing Bandula's locks with what looked like a small chisel.
Who's that?
What are you doing?
Magnus, isn't it?
Who are you?
My name's Wentworth. Peggy Wentworth. Have you heard that name before, Magnus?
I don't think so.
Your father, Mr. Richard Thomas Almighty Pym, killed my husband, and as good as killed me, too.
No.
And the proof's in this monstrous thing here.
And in Bandula? No.
Why else would he bring it all the way up here, but that there was no one left to guard it in London?
How did you know where to find it?
I saw them unloading the stupid thing. I've been watching Mr. Richard Pym since the day he arrived up here.
Well, I think it'll take a little bit more than the chisel to get Bandula to yield
the secret. Magnus! Where are you? Magnus, come on, stop mucking about.
I better go.
Can we meet again later?
Well,
I'd like to talk to you. The old cattle market, you know it?
I think so.
Meet me there in an hour.
Magnus! Where the hell are you?
Yes, sir, just coming.
An hour then. The old cattle market.
I went to meet her, of course. How could I not? She was waiting for me. A sad, lonely figure, standing by a crumbling wall which overlooked the derelict cowsheds.
I've been coming here quite a lot lately.
Huh?
I look at this place and I remember, like it was yesterday, what Richard Thomas Pym did to my happiness.
What was that?
He robbed us, Magnus. He robbed us blind.
So you say, but...
Listen. We were farmers, John and I. Farmed a Cornish manor called Tamar Rose that John had inherited from his father and his father before that.
What?
It was hard. Every grain had to be wrestled from the wind down there.
I can imagine.
But we had everything we wanted. We were happy. Oh, yes, we were happy. Until the accident. Everything changed after the accident.
What happened?
God knows. John slipped, I suppose. He was as sure-footed as a mountain goat, but he must have slipped. He went into the thresher. Lost both legs below the knee. £9,000 the insurance paid.
That's something, I suppose.
That's when Rick, your father, appeared. All good sense and sympathy, and talked that poor, weak-headed husband of mine into putting his money into some great trust fund. 12% plus profits, Peggy, year in, year out.
That's not so bad.
Except that when John died, there wasn't a penny left for anybody. Not a single penny piece.
What about the trust fund?
Well, now, there's a thing for you. For reasons beyond his control, Rick and his precious trust fund had... Now, what did he call it?
A problem of liquidity.
A problem of liquidity. That was it. Purely temporary, of course. But in the meantime, no profits, no 12%, no nothing.
You still had the farm, surely?
Mortgaged to the bloody hilt. Your father brought some smart lawyer man from London. And this, while my poor weak husband was still in the hospital, mind, they talked him into mortgaging the farm. The farm, the land, the livestock, the whole damned lot.
In the circumstances.
With all the proceeds going to his dear old pal Rick, who promised to see us right. You'll never want for anything again, Peggy. Never want for anything again. My God. Here, read this.
What's this?
From your father's smart lawyer man. Go on, read it.
Documents relating to the freehold of Tamar Rose are at present being processed with a view to acquiring
a
large
figure in your interest.
Here. I don't want to know any more.
And why not?
It's not my business. You robbed you and the rest doesn't make any difference.
No, not to you. It isn't you the bloody man possesses. It isn't you the foolish woman with a sickly child to care for and a bankrupt farm to buy.
Please.
It isn't you he has in his hands as sure as if he had you in his bed with all the fancy frills and mirrors.
No.
Oh, yes. He even managed that. May God forgive
me. Please don't tell me any more. The rest is private.
Private it may be, but it's in that filthy green cabinet.
How can you be so sure?
Didn't he lead me to it himself one night? Barefooted in a brand new nightdress. The record, he called it. The record that would put him up alongside the angels while us poor sinners bleed and starve for the glory
stop,
of him.
Please, just
where's
stop.
Where's Justice Magnus? My poor John's rotting in his grave, and there's him parading down the street like some grandee, and the people all clapping and cheering for good old Ricky boy.
All right.
Where's the justice? Tell me that.
I know what you want.
Proof, Magnus. And it's right there in that cabinet. I know it. And by God, I'll have it from him. I swear on my husband's grave, I'll have it from him.
I couldn't sleep that night. I no sooner closed my eyes than I saw her distraught face, heard her harsh, accusing voice. And so, in the early hours of the morning, while the Temperance Hotel slept, I made my way down to the cellar. I picked Bandula's locks with the same dividers that had been given to me by Jack Brotherhood's associates to open the files of Oxford's more subversive institutions.
Bankruptcy. Bankruptcy. Old Ross Fillet. Wentworth.
It was a fat file, full of legal contracts and assignments. Everything she had told me was true. And there was more, much more besides.
Looks like his pin. Looks like his pin. Looks like his pin.
I read each one of them, summing up, verdict, sentence. It was all there, a litany of madness. The madness of a man who spent his hours weaving a rope for his own neck. I decided it was a rope I would give to Peggy Wentworth. I had to see her right.
What is the point in this modern world, they ask, of a party of ideals? Ideals won't buy us a cup of tea or a nice English lamb chop. We can't pay for our son's education with ideals. How can we expect him to take his place among the highest in the land with nothing but ideals in his pocket? My answer to you, good people of Gulworth, is that ideals are like the stars in the sky. We cannot ever reach them, but we all profit by their presence. Thank you.
Come on, Magnus, clap. Marvellous load of cobbles, that was.
Yes.
What's the matter with you?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And thank you, Mrs. Penn, the next Member of Parliament for this constituency. Or we'll know the reason why.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, madam?
I wish to know, sir, if it's true that the Liberal candidate for the constituency of Gulworth North once served a prison sentence for swindle, embezzlement, and fraud.
It's truth. That's told it.
Answer my question. Is it true?
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
Some things in life you never forget. Peggy Wentworth. Cold, impassive, an avenging angel. And Rick's angry, incredulous face as he turned to look at me. You should have died then, Rick, when I killed you.
Come in, Jack. They're waiting for you.
Who's they?
Bern, Nigel, and Dawny from the Foreign Office.
Oh, so there's a flat on.
First signs of panic. They want to call in the police, special branch, and God knows who else besides.
Well, they can't.
Both told them that.
And?
They're not convinced.
Oh, the bloody idiots. Where are they?
The small conference room. Tread carefully, Jack. It's pure politics now.
The only pure thing about politics, my darling, is the hypocrisy. But thanks for the warning.
We can't go on forever floating around in limbo like this. It's time to take a view. The minister will expect it.
I agree, but it's a delicate balance. Ah, Jack, come in, come in. You know Dawny?
Yes, of course. Hello, Nigel.
Hello, Jack. Pull up a chair.
Dawny feels that it's time to take a view.
Well, it depends on the view, doesn't it?
And the Echo's suggestion is, what exactly, Dawny? That it may be time to call in the police, circulate Pym's photograph.
That wouldn't achieve anything.
Why not?
Well, he'll have used cutouts halfway out.
I'm sure the police can handle that.
He may be using the name Canterbury. In the past, all his work names have been place names, Mr. Howell, Colonel Manchester and so on.
Well, that's a start.
On the other hand, Canterbury may be where they've taken the cabinet because that's where Pym is.
Let us know.
Or they may have taken it to Canterbury because that's where Pym isn't.
Oh, dear.
All we know is that he's in a rented room somewhere. A room overlooking the sea, in all probability.
We can hardly ask the police to comb every seaside town in the United Kingdom.
He's not in Scotland, because that's where he says he is.
That leaves just England and Wales, then.
And Ireland, and possibly the Bahamas, or quite possibly neither.
Oh, he's mad.
If you want to take a view, Dawny, yes, he's mad. Mad as a hatter. Probably has been for 30 years. And for some reason, we've failed to certify him.
That was part four of A Perfect Spy, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber. Malcolm Tierney featured as Rick, John Cater as Sid Lemon, Geraldine Fitzgerald as Peggy Wentworth, and Julian Ryan Tutt as the young Magnus. Nigel was played by Royce Mills, Beau Bramall by John Nettleton, Kate by Natasha Pine, Tom by Robbie Gill, Alf by Michael Onslow, Bert by George Sweeney, Dawny by Barry J. Gordon, and the agent by Philip Anthony. The theme music was written by Max Harris, and the program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.